Good afternoon, everyone. I want to thank Rabbi Rosenbaum for inviting me here to share with you a few words at this, I understand, end-of-year banquet, which I guess serves as a graduation for some and as a celebration of a year of accomplishments for others. So I'll first begin with a mazel tov. Mazel tov to those who have finished their degrees here, and mazel tov to those who have put in all the incredible work, and mazel tov to those who are finishing first year, second year, whatever year you're up to in Ma'alot, mazel tov on this academic accomplishment, and halavai should pave the way for many beautiful accomplishments in the future. I think it's also important to recognize the incredibly dedicated staff of Ma'alot under the leadership of Rabbi Zin Rosenbaum. I don't want to leave anyone out, so I'm sure I'm speaking on behalf of all of the girls, and I say thank you to all of you for the incredible work that each of you do each and every day. Education in general is sometimes a thankless profession. Sometimes, it doesn't apply to the girls here, but sometimes all students are concerned about is what's on the test. But they forget about the fact that there are people, Baruch Hashem, who are working day and night in order to broaden your educational horizons, your intellectual horizons, in the case of Ma'alot, to broaden the horizons of your neshamas as well. And just on behalf of all of us, really on behalf of the entire community, we thank all of you for your incredible dedication, your incredible efforts, your incredible love for each and every one of the students. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu should just bench each of you with the incredible koach and siyata d'shmaya to continue to educate and inspire our girls for many years to come. Thank you. So because I want to share with you a very short idea that hopefully will serve as a good conclusion to the year, a send-off for those who are going on their way, and a little bit of chizuk for those who are continuing on. There's much that happens in this week's parasha, Parshas Baaloscha, but nestled in the middle of the parasha is an exchange which, if you blink, you'll miss it. It's an exchange between Moshe Rabbeinu and his father-in-law Yisro, in Perek Yod, the 10th chapter of Bamidbar. So Moshe Rabbeinu says as follows, Vayomer Moshe Lechovev, Vayomer Moshe Lechovev ben Ruah Midyani Chosei Moshe. So Moshe Rabbeinu says to his father-in-law, says to Yisro, Nosim anachnu ala makom asher amar Hashem osu atin lochem, lecho itanu veitavnu loch. Moshe Rabbeinu says to Yisro, listen, we're going to Eretz Yisro, to the land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised us, come with us. Come with us. Now the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu says, come with us, what does that tell you? It's just like class. What does it tell you? What does it tell you? Thank you, Ariella. Right, excellent. So meaning that it tells you ultimately... Yes, I know your name. Don't be so shocked. We were in class together for a whole year. So it tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu, there must have been some type of tension. It must have been that Moshe Rabbeinu sensed that Yisro was getting ready to leave. And Rashi HaKadosh comments on this about why Yisro is ready to leave. Moshe Rabbeinu chooses to be proactive. Yisro doesn't initiate the conversation. Moshe Rabbeinu does. Yisro, come with us. You're part of the family. You're part of the people. We're going to Eretz Yisrael. You're going to have a portion. So what happens? Yisro says, no, thank you so much. It's been a wonderful run. I'm going to go back to my land, go back to my birthplace. I'm going to go back to Midyan. Vayomer, al na ta'azov osanu. Please don't leave. Moshe Rabbeinu is begging us, please don't leave. This might be the only recorded instance in history of a son-in-law asking his in-laws to stay. The in-laws are ready to go home. He says, no, please stay. Vayomer, al na ta'azov osanu, ki al kin yadata chanosinu b'midbar, v'hayisa lanu la'inayim. Moshe Rabbeinu supplicates, please, don't leave. You're like our eyes, you're an elder statesman, you're important to us. Please stay. And the question is obvious. Why does Yisro want to go back to Midian? Yisro gave up so much. Yisro gave up fortune. Yisro gave up social standing. Yisro, we know, wasn't just an idolater. He was the idolater of Midian. He was the Rav HaRashi. He was the chief rabbi of idolaters in Midian. He had fame. He had prominence. He had fortune. He had everything. He gave it all up to join the ranks of Klal Yisrael. And now, remember again, this is before the Meraglim, so everyone assumes we're about to go into Eretz Yisrael imminently, right before they're about to go, and he says, okay, I'm going to go back home. I'm going to go back home. And Moshe Rabbeinu, and we know, Yisrael does go home. Interestingly enough, some of Yisro's children actually remain within the camp of Klal Yisrael, but Yisro himself goes back to Midian. So the question is, why? What is it that compelled Yisrael to leave Am Yisrael at this most pivotal of moments? And I think to answer this question, I want to share with you a beautiful insight by the Eish Kodesh. The Eish Kodesh of Konamis Kalman Shapira, the Rebbe of Piazetzna, we spoke about him a number of times in our class this year. The Rebbe of Piazetzna was an incredible, and there are certain neshamas that come to this world that are so great, that are so holy, that they defy comprehension. The Piazetzna was an Ibui, was already a child prodigy, becomes a well-recognized and well-respected Hasidish Rebbe at a young age, develops a following in the town of Piazetzna, which is a small town outside of Krakow in Poland. But the Rebbe loses his entire family, is shipped off to the Warsaw Ghetto, but there becomes a Rebbe to the masses, becomes a Rebbe to everyone. And every Shabbos, when situation permitted, the Rebbe would give drushas. The shul would be located at different places. He would give drushas. And every week on Matzei Shabbos, either he or his gabbai, it's a little bit of a historical debate, someone wrote down the drushas after Shabbos, hid them in a canister, and the Rebbe perished on his way to Auschwitz. He perished in the cattle cars. But after the war, some Polish peasant was going through the rubble, found the canister, found some Hebrew writing on it, and to make a long story short, they found the drushas of the Piazetzna, compiled in a sefer called Eish Kodesh, Holy Fire. So the Piazetzna asks an interesting question. He doesn't directly address this, but he asks an interesting question. He says, why is it that the Torah was given in the middle of the desert? What's the pshat? If you were staging Kabbalah Satorah, where would you have it take place? Eretz Yisrael. Right, that's a good guess. Right, Eretz Yisrael. And we're specifically in Eretz Yisrael. I would have thought, again, Yerushalayim. And we're in Yerushalayim. Not the Waldorf. Right, we're in Yerushalayim. The Har HaBayis. I would have thought the place that represented the first level of connection between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Avraham Avinu, the site of the Akedah, would be the very site that was so apropos for Kabbalah HaTorah. That should have been the site. And where does HaKadosh Baruch Hu give the Torah? Literally in the middle of nowhere. To the point that we don't even know where Har Sinai is today. We know the desert, we know the general geographic area, but according to most opinions, we don't even know the site of the most important event in our people's history. We don't even know the address of Kabbalah HaTorah. Not only that, but even if the Ribbono Shel Olam were to come down and say to us, there's Har Sinai, what preparations do you have to make to ascend the mountain? None. To go to Har HaBayis requires a whole bunch of preparations. To go ultimately to Har Sinai, even if we knew which mountain it was, girls, come in. You don't have to wait outside. Come in. So ultimately, again, to ascend on Har Sinai, so requires no preparation, requires absolutely nothing to do. You just go up. Why is the Torah given in the middle of nowhere? And the Piazetzna quotes a pasuk. The pasuk says, the pasuk we say every single day, V'yahavtas Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha u'b'chol nafshecha v'chol ma'odecha. You shall love HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all of your heart, with all of your soul, b'chol ma'odecha with all of your means. And Rashi HaKadosh comments, and it's what does it mean to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all of your heart? What does that mean? And Rashi makes such a profound statement, shelo yehi libcha chaluk ala makom. Literally translated, your heart should not be divided against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, what Rashi is saying is that sometimes it's easy to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu when everything is going great. It's easy to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu when life is just as it should be. It's more difficult to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu when there are challenges, when there's difficulty, when there's tragedy, when there's loss, when there's adversity. And therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, if you're going to love me, I need your whole heart. B'chol levavcha. Never let your heart be divided. Never let your heart be split in its love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't be a fair weather friend of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Love him in all circumstances. And the Piazetzna says something amazing. He says there's a different interpretation of that Rashi. He says means, do not think for a moment that spirituality is ever tethered to one particular place. You see, sometimes in life we assume that a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu could only unfold and blossom in a particular area. So sometimes we think it's in seminary, and sometimes we think it's in Eretz Yisrael, sometimes we think it's in Baltimore, sometimes we think it's in Ma'alot. Those are all places which foster our spirituality. But says the Rebbe, Shelo yehe libcha chalak al hamakom. Never think that only in certain places you could serve Hashem. Never think that just in certain places you could be mekadesh shem shamayim. Never think that your relationship with the Ribono shel Olam is tethered to any particular geography. Yisro turns to Moshe Rabbeinu and he says, my dear beloved son-in-law, I need to go back to Midian. You know why? Because that's where I'm needed. You see, the camp of Klal Yisrael, you don't need me here. You don't need another tzaddik. You don't need another great person. Klal Yisrael has you, Moshe, has Aaron, has Yehoshua, has Kalev ben Yefuna, Nachshon ben Aminadab. There are so many people who are here to lead the Klal. Miriam Hanaviah, so many wonderful and incredible people. You don't need me here. But you know where I am needed? I'm needed back in Midian. Because what Jewish infrastructure is there in Midian? Nothing. What spirituality exists in Midian? Nothing. So I could be here and bask in the holiness of Klal Yisrael, or I could go back to the desert of Midian and do something that actually makes a difference. Aye, you're going to say to me, but Yisrael, how can you go back to Midian? There's nothing there. There's nothing there. Even Dougie's didn't open up there yet. Right? There's nothing. I'm sorry, the royal. I should apologize. Right? There's nothing. There's nothing. There's nothing there. So what are you going to do if you go to Midian? To which Yisrael Abinu says, Moshe, you remember the pasuk? V'yahavta Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha. Shelo yehi libcha chalak al hamakom. Never think that spirituality could only be found in one location, in one point of geography. Wherever the Jew goes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu follows along. And girls, I think from this idea of the Piyajetzna, we understand, I think it gives all of you two incredible life lessons. Number one, for those of you who are graduating and going on, whether it's to graduate school, whether it's to careers, whether it's marriage, Emir Zashem, for all of you, B'sha Tov Mitzlachos, whether you're going to be here in this community or go to other communities, understand that you could be a thriving, holy, and spiritual Jew wherever you are. Sometimes people make the mistake that when their younger years are over, my Beis Yaakov days are over, my seminary days are over, now even my Ma'alot days are over, I'm coming out of the cocoon, I'm coming out of the bubble, and that's it. My ability to achieve a heightened level of Ruchnius will always be stunted by the fact that now I'm out in the world. And it's not true. Shelo yehi libcha chalak al hamakom. If you want a relationship with the Ribono shel Olam, if you want it, but you sincerely want it, if you want holiness, not just on Shabbosos, Yomim Tovim, and Chodesh Elul, but if you want it every single day, it's attainable. It might take a lot of work. It might take a lot of effort. And yes, it will probably take a lot of sacrifices. But if you want to lead lives of Kiddusha, that opportunity is always there for you. Never for a moment think that your spiritual success is tethered to any particular geographic location. Wherever you go, and wherever life takes you, the Ribono shel Olam will always be by your side and yearns and craves for a beautiful and uplifting relationship with you. And lesson number two. In life, always go where you will be able to make a difference. Sometimes we naturally gravitate to our comfort zones. We gravitate to familiar surroundings. We gravitate to always be around people who look like us, who think like us, who practice like us, who live like us, because it's safe. Because it's safe. But if you always remain in the safety of your Dalet Amos, then you never venture out to where you're really needed. Sometimes the Ribono shel Olam needs us to go to places or be in situations that we don't really feel so comfortable being in. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu has incredibly dramatic plans for us and places us in situations and we wonder to ourselves, how did I wind up here? Know that if you find yourself in a particular circumstance, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put you there because you can make a difference. Some of you may be going on to graduate school. And graduate school, you know, you might have been taking part of a wonderful college program. But Baruch Hashem, I'm going to tell you something. And this is a good thing. It's an incredibly sheltered college program by design. That's the beauty of it. That's the holiness of it. That's what makes it so special. And some of you may be going out to graduate school, and you're going to meet all kinds of people and see all kinds of things, some of which maybe you've never encountered. And you're going to have interactions, some of which may be absolutely alien. And some of you may be going into the workforce. And in the workforce again, you may encounter those same different things. Just know that if you're in that graduate school, if you're in that place of employment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts you there because it's there that you can make a difference. Sometimes in the safety of the cocoon and the camp, you're not really needed as much. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu urges you to move out, to go into your midyan, that's where you can make a dramatic difference. That's where you could be Mekadesh Shem Shamayim and showing the world what a Bas Yisrael is. And showing the world that a young woman could maintain absolute allegiance and fidelity to every single standard of halacha. That a young woman could go ahead and live a lechatchila life, even if she has to be in the greater world. When you're going out to your midyan, be it the midyan of the workplace, the midyan of graduate school, just know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is allowing you to be there because you can make a dramatic difference. These are the two lessons that I hope that the Ish Kodesh gives us that are necessary for all of our lives, but I think are all the more so necessary for a wonderful group of young women who are going out into the world. You can be a thriving Jew wherever you are, and in life always go where you will be able to make the greatest difference. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give you each. You know, I will tell you, it's always very special for me to teach Ma'alot, because it's incredibly energizing to see young women who are at the beginning of an exciting adventure of life. And it's an exciting adventure. Notice I didn't say easy adventure. I said exciting adventure. Because it is. Each of you are going to go on to accomplish incredibly amazing things. Each of you are going to make a contribution to this world that only each of you can do in your own unique way. And you're prepared with the tools to do so. Don't be afraid to engage. Don't be afraid to go to your midyan. Don't be afraid to find your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu wherever you may be. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu give each of you the incredible koach to remain strong in a world that is sometimes alien to our values. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu give you the wisdom to know when to draw your lines in the sand and when to be mevater. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu give you the wisdom to know ultimately again how to make a difference. And may HaKadosh Baruch Hu give you the internal GPS to always know where to go, where you are most needed. Mazel tov to those of you who are graduating. Hatzlacha to those of you who are continuing. And I wish each of you a meaningful, restful, and productive summer.